There's a book I read in high school. I guess I should say I was forced to read it in high school. It was a book that many of you, like me, were probably forced to read. The book Fahrenheit 451, written by Ray Bradbury in 1953. Anyone familiar with that book? Okay, good, good. That book, for those of you who haven't read it, has a fairly simplistic plot. Firefighters, instead of putting out fires, they start them. And they do that to burn books because books have been outlawed by the government. And you'd think society would be in this uproar, they'd be in this panic, but for the most part, they really just don't care. There's no pushback, there's no resistance to this for the most part. And the reason for that is because society lives this just fast-paced, going life. They're always working. They're always doing something. And they just consume crazy amounts of media and television and news. And so that's all they do. And so as time goes on, a love for reading and a dedication to it just goes absent and missing from their society. And this has consequences, and you know this if you've read the book, because they have no idea what reality truly is, no idea what's actually true, because the only news they get, the only reality they get is the one portrayed by the media and by the news. And so they're confused and they're hopeless and broken. A pretty interesting read, to say the least. I'm glad my teachers forced me to read it. But you probably know where I'm going with this sermon, don't you already? Even if you haven't read Fahrenheit 451 or are familiar with the book, you know where this is going, because let's just think for a second. Do we know a society that sounds somewhat like the society of Fahrenheit 451? Do we know a society like that? Do we know a society that the society members live these fast-paced lives where they're working constantly and their go-go-go mentality and just numerous obligations throughout the week? Do we know a society like that one? Do we know a society that its members, instead of reading a book on a rainy afternoon, are more likely to be on the couch watching TV, watching the news, watching the latest episode of Obi-Wan or whatever it might be? Do we know a society like that one? Do we know a society that, as the years have progressed and technology has progressed, that a love for reading and a dedication to it has slowly digressed and evaporated from society? Do we know a society that about the time of 15 or 16 years old, when you get that driver's license or that learner's permit, those precious trips to the library, they just cease to exist for the majority of people? Do we know a society like that one? It doesn't take long to realize that our society and their society are somewhat similar in a lot of regards, aren't they? That our society is similar to the one of Fahrenheit 451. And the statistics and the data from the last century certainly support that statement. I'm going to quote statistics from a group called Reading at Risk. And Reading at Risk performed the three largest surveys ever done on habitual reading in the United States. And they did surveys in 1982, 1992, and 2002. And while those statistics may be a little bit dated, they show a trend and they show a pattern, which we can see just through our observations, through our lenses, that in reality, things haven't changed. And so here's what Reading at Risk discovered. They discovered this. They discovered in 2002, less than half of the American adult population reads literature. What that means, let's put that in simplistic terms this morning. What that means is in 2002, less than half of adults ever picked up a book and read it all the way through. In 2002, that's what they discovered in their survey. They also discovered that in 2002, only 14% of grade school students read independently outside the classroom. And that's a really small number, but it's even smaller than 2002, or in 1982, when 22% read outside the classroom. They discovered that between the years 1982 and 2002, that young adults have declined from being the most likely to read to the least likely to read. And the thing is, we look at those statistics and they're not mind-boggling. You know, nobody gasped when I threw that up there. We're not shocked by that because it's just the reality of the world we live in. Because while that was the case then, the trends have only progressed till now. The case is, or the fact is, whether you're in 1982 or 2002 or 2022, the fact is people don't like to read like they used to. People don't read like they used to. And so why are we talking about this morning? Why did you wake up early to hear statistics and Fahrenheit 451? What's going on this morning? Well, we need to talk about that and recognize that because all of those statistics, all of that data, this reality of our current society and love for reading, all of that applies to the reading of God's Word, doesn't it? All of that applies to getting in God's book and the current state in which we're doing that. It is no secret, church family, that we struggle to read the Word of God. It is no secret that we struggle. We struggle to do that. We struggle to get in the Word of God habitually and regularly, to do it day to day and week to week. And while many of us struggle to do it day to day and find time to do that, there's a lot of people who just struggle to the point where it doesn't happen, where the Word of God just goes missing for weeks and months independently outside this church building. I know that was the case for me in high school. I had a designated seat or a seat in the back of my Hyundai Sonata right behind the driver's seat. If my Bible wasn't there during the week, if I got to church and opened the door and the Bible wasn't there in the back seat, I got nervous. I thought the Bible was either lost or stolen, or I left it at church, and none of those are good options. And so that was me in high school, to my shame. And so don't think that this lesson today is one that's just meant to beat you down, to make you feel ashamed of where you're at, to make you feel like a disappointment or whatever the case might be. That's not what we're doing today. That's not what I want you to feel today. But can I encourage us all, I'm included in that, can I encourage us all to get in the Word, to be provoked to love and good deeds, and just to strive to get in the Word and to make that our goal this week, to make that our goal tomorrow as we leave this building, just to make that happen in our life, because the reality is we all struggle to some degree. And so I want to talk about how we can make that happen, why we should make that happen, why we should read the Word of God. Before we do that, before we get into the reasons why we should read and some rules for reading to make this desire a reality, I think we need to address the problems in which we face, the reasons why we don't read the Word of God. We've all heard this sermon 100 times. I'm sure I've heard it 100 times just in my lifetime. We've all heard sermons about reading the Word of God and doing that more, but yet we all still struggle. And I think we struggle for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why we don't get in the Word of God. Like Fahrenheit 451, we do live busy lives, don't we? I don't know about you all, but as the years go by, those quiet and peaceful moments just become fewer and fewer. I'm getting some head nods out there. You all get it. You all understand. The quiet and peaceful moments just seems to evaporate. We have adults in this room, and some of you have jobs, and you're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week. We have some business owners in the room and all the stresses that come with that and the obligations. We have just the random adult stuff we got to do. I'm getting used to that. There's random adult paperwork, the mail that you got to look through and throw away and keep some, and all that stuff we got to do, the grocery store trips and the laundry, just these numerous obligations that we have to attend to. Some of you have doctor visits that you have to go to. And we got parents in the room. Y'all make me nervous for the future. I respect and I admire you all. You all do amazing things. You all have just not only your things going on and the adult paperwork and the grocery trips and the laundry and then the house and all that stuff going on. You have the kids stuff. You have the T-ball and the recitals and the small task of keeping them alive. Tyler and Lauren can tell you, I got 2 fish and a lot of stress is going into that right now. We're barely making it in my household. I cannot imagine what you all go through and all the time you have to put into raising a family. I respect and I admire you. But all of us in this room, whether parents or not, whether in high school or junior high, we all just have numerous obligations, numerous things we have to see to throughout the week. And so it can be hard to read the Word of God, and it can be hard to make time to do this. Then maybe that's one reason why we struggle. Maybe another reason why we struggle, and going along with that, maybe we struggle because, like never before in this time we live in this culture we live in and society, we have things competing for those free moments, competing for our attention in those free moments. Y'all know what I'm saying? Like never before we have, when we finally get those rare, peaceful moments in life where we could meditate and focus on the Word of God, we have so many things competing for our attention. We have that never-ending, never-the-same, tailor-made Facebook, Instagram, Twitter feeds. It's not unusual to have TVs all over the place in houses in our society. And so anywhere you go in the house, you have HGTV and you have the news and Obi-Wan. There's all these things that you could be watching at any time you want. We have our phones and just notification after notification. And even when we say, I'm done with those things, I'm going to get away from the TV, get away from the phone, we have notifications on our wrist. We just live in a time like no other. No other do we have things competing for our attention in those free moments. And so maybe that's a reason why we struggle instead of focusing and meditating and reading the Word of God. But let me give you one other, and this is the one that I found that I resonate to the most, and I'm sure many of you do as well. Maybe the case and maybe the reason why we struggle is we supplement the Word of God. We supplement the Word of God. We live in a time that's not all bad. It is a good time to be a Christian because like never before, we have access to so many Bible resources online or wherever it may be. We have the internet that has sermon after sermon that we can watch, and we have podcasts from preachers all over the country that are just amazing Bible resources. We have videos like Appian Media and Bible Project, just these amazing things that we can go to and we can learn about God's Word. And those are all good things. Do not misunderstand me. I love those things. I use them every week in preparation for just various things. I love those things. But it can be easy, can't it, to watch that extra sermon, to listen to that podcast by your favorite preacher, to watch that Bible project on the Book of Ruth or whatever, you know. It can be easy to watch that, to listen to that, to go to that website and to think, well, I got my extra sermon in, I got my podcast in, I got my video in, I'm good to go, I don't need to read the Word of God this week. And because of that mindset, the Word of God just goes missing and absent. That app or whether your Bible at home just goes unopened for week after week, month after month. But church family, it's not the same, is it? Those things are like vitamins. My mom always made me take vitamins before I ate. Some of you probably know those Flintstone vitamins, the iron ones. I always took those before my meals. Kids, take your vitamins. They're good for you. My mom always made me do that. And I'm sure a lot of moms fall into that category in here, and a lot of dads fall into that category. Vitamins are good for us. We should take them. But no parent in this room is going to make their kids only eat vitamins. Why? Well, because they're a supplement, aren't they? You can't live on vitamins. It's just not the same. It's a supplement, and the same is true with those Bible resources. It's like FaceTime. We have a lot of long-distance couples in the room. I'm one of them this summer. Lauren's here today, and which is just great, and why I'm just so excited to do this and be here with you all. Lauren's here today, and that's amazing, but we have a lot of long-distance couples in the room. We have a lot of long-distance parents and grandparents in the room with your kids just hundreds and hundreds of miles away from you all. All of us would agree FaceTime is an amazing thing for relationships. We love it. We love FaceTime, but none of us would say that FaceTime is the same. It's the same as embracing your person. It's the same as going to that little league game for your grandkids versus watching it through the lens of a camera. None of us would say it's the same. And the same is true for the Word of God, church family. We can't supplement the Word of God, but we need to get in. And so maybe those are some problems that we encounter. Maybe you resonate to one of those problems. Maybe you resonate like I do to all of those problems. But we need to identify them. We need to understand where the problem is so we can overcome it. And so can I give us some motivation this morning to overcome those problems, some reasons why we should read the Word of God? The first reason is this. We need to read the Word of God because it's God's expectation for us. It's God's expectation for us. You knew this one was coming. You knew this one was coming. But if you get nothing else from this sermon, at least get this. Realize that God, the creator of the universe, Jehovah, King of kings, Lord of lords, wants us to be in his book. That's God's expectation. It's always been God's expectation. I think of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, God's expectation for Israel when he would say, take to heart these words that I give you today, repeat them to your children, talk about them when you're at home or when you're away, when you lie down or you get up, write them down and tie them around your wrist and wear them as headbands as a reminder. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. God's expectation for Israel was to be in his book. And we see this in Joshua, don't we? In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua says to the people, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then he will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And we could go all throughout the Old Testament, passage after passage of God telling his people, this is what I want from you. I think about Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, which we read to start the worship service. The man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night, passage after passage in the Old Testament. But then we get to the New Testament and we realize that it's no different, that this is still God's expectation for his people when Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is God's expectation that we are people of the book. Why does God expect that from us? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and we'll talk about one in just a second as its own point. And there's a lot of reasons we could talk about this morning, but a trend I noticed just in preparing this lesson and meditating on what I was going to say was there's a trend of goodness and blessing, that God wants us to read his book because when we read the word of God, goodness and blessing flow from that. Did you notice that trend? And in Deuteronomy, it's in the context. If you read on in the passage, in Joshua 1 and verse 8, and Joshua says, read this book. Why? So that he may make your way prosperous and you have good success. Jesus says that you may have life. And we get to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and Peter says, read the word of God so you have all things pertaining to life and godliness. God wants us to read his book because when we read, blessing flows from it because we can live the way God intended for us to live and operate in this world. I don't know if you thought about that this morning, that the Bible doesn't just have theoretical results in our life, but following God's word and reading God's word changes our life for the better. That God in his love has given us this word so blessing can flow from it. If you don't believe me, if you think that the Bible just has theoretical results, try and see. Try and see. Look at God's teaching on finances and what God says about finances and how we should use our money and save our money, and read that and study that and try and see what financial freedom it gives you and what burden it takes off your shoulder. If you don't believe me, if you think the Bible is just this theoretical book that might help you, that might make life better, read its teachings on marriage and see what fulfillment it gives you in your relationship with your spouse. If you don't believe me, read God's teaching on bitterness and anger and wrath and malice and just putting those things away, getting those things far, far away from you, and just see what it does for your health and the peace that God's word brings you. There's a lot of reasons why God wants us and expects us to read his word, but that's one of them, that just goodness and blessing and life flow from that. But another reason of its own is that another reason why we should read the word of God is because it's our source of steadfast faithfulness. It's our source of steadfast faithfulness. Moses would say in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Well, Moses, why should we read it? Why should we be people of the book? Why should we devote time day after day, week after week to being in the word of God? Well, Moses tells us, so that, verse 20, he may not turn aside from the commandment either to the right hand or to the left. And as Joshua would say in Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Why? Why should we be in the book day after day, week after week, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it? We need to make an effort to read the word of God Because when the word of God goes missing from our heart, that is when we are most susceptible to the schemes of the devil. There's a correlation in the Bible, isn't there? And you all know this. There's a correlation in the Bible between not reading the word of God and not being faithful to the king. As there's a correlation between reading the word of God and steadfast faithfulness. I think probably the most prominent example of this in the Bible is the nation of Judah. Nation of Judah, they start out all right. They're an okay nation. And just as time goes on, they just become more wicked and idolatrous and just perverted and malicious. They're just treating people terribly. And you look at that, and you look at that okay nation, and you look at to this place they've come, and you just wonder, how'd they get there? What on earth happened for Judah to become like this? And we get to 2 Kings chapter 22, and Josiah becomes king, and we get it, don't we? We see what happened as Josiah uncovers that law that had been missing for generations. All the puzzle pieces fit together in our mind. The people had turned into the right and to the left because they had failed to study and to meditate and read the Word of God. And as time went on, days went on, weeks went on, they just turned aside and weren't faithful to God. Young people, parents, adults, we need to read the Word of God because if the Word of God goes missing from our hearts, the devil will fill our hearts with pollution, wickedness, and sin. If we don't fill our hearts with the Word of God, I can confidently say that we will look less and less like the people God wants us to be and the church family God wants us to be, and more like the nation of Israel and Judah. As the months and years go by, we compromise and we turn unto the right and to the left. Because when we do not fill our hearts with the Word of God, that is when the devil fills it with things like politics, things like popularity and greed and worry and anxiety, and all of those things, if they fill our hearts, can steer us away from the path of Jesus. And so we need to be reading in the Word of God. We need to be motivated to read because it's a source of steadfast faithfulness. But one more. The last one is we need to read because it's a shield against deception. It is a shield against deception. If we are reading the Word of God, if we are in it and reading it daily and weekly, we are shielded against the lies of the world. We live in a world that is just lying to us all the time. You all buy that? The world lies to us about wealth and success. We live in a society that promotes success as just in wealth as the number one thing you can achieve, the number one purpose of your life. And it's overwhelming. I got to tell you, it's overwhelming just for me. We live in a society, I don't know if you believe me or not, that promotes the car someone drives more than how they got that car, right? That's just the society that we live in the world we live in. Our young people are being told that their worth is being defined by the clothing brands they wear, by who their parents are, by how much money they have, what their degree is going to be, by their ACT score. And because of that, we have young people here and just all over this country who are broken and depressed and feel worthless before the eyes of society. But when we read the Word of God, we're shielded against that lie, aren't we, church family? We read the Word of God and we realize that money and popularity, those things come and go. The world's going to go on. Those things are going to come to an end. We read the Word of God and we realize that our worth is not defined by the clothing brands we have or we wear, by our car out in our driveway. It's not defined by our ACT score, but it's defined by our God on page 2 of His Bible when He says, "Let us make man in our image, in the image of God He created him." That's where our worth is defined. When we read the Word of God, we are shielded against the lies of the devil and the lies of the world concerning wealth and success. But we're also shielded against the lies of just the normality of sin, aren't we? We live in a society and world that just makes sin look so normal, doesn't it? Every movie you watch, every show you watch has just profanity and sexual relationships outside of marriage and all. And you get on Instagram and it's profanity and just indecency. And we look at that and we can be tempted to think, that's just how the world is. That's just how the world should be. But when we read the Word of God, we understand, don't we, That's not the way God intended for things to be. That's not the way God made this world to operate. And we're shielded to a society that has become desensitized to sin. But maybe the most important thing that we're shielded against when it comes to the lies of the world are spiritual lies. Nothing makes me more mad and frustrates me and riles me up than men who abuse this stage. Not here, I love Don and Jonathan, but men across the country who abuse this stage and this ability and talent God has given them. Men who mislead congregations of hundreds of people and thousands of people because of their agendas, their hard hearts, because of their pocketbooks, whatever it might be, who mislead congregation and soul after soul into error and wickedness and sin. It makes me mad. I don't know about you, church family. It makes me really mad to see men do that, to abuse that power God has given them. But when I think about that, that problem could be solved instantaneously, couldn't it? If men and women sitting in the pews would just read the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, we are shielded to the lies of error that the world will throw at us. I think about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Peter would say, "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on guard, so you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Peter says false teaching is going to come. Be ready. Be warned. False teaching is going to come. And how do you withstand it? How are you shielded against it? Grow in grace and knowledge. How do you grow in grace and knowledge, church family? You read the Word of God. If we're going to withstand the lies of the world, withstand the lies of evil and wicked men, we got to be in the Word. And so just thinking about our list that we've made so far, I think those are some pretty good reasons why we should be motivated, why we should be fired up and stirred to action this morning, to get in the Word of God this week and to do that daily and weekly, to get in the Word of God. It's God's expectation for us. We find faithfulness, steadfast faithfulness in doing it. We're shielded against these lies that can break us and mold us. This is some pretty good reasons. But you all have heard that sermon a million times, haven't you? And yet we still struggle. We still struggle to get in the Word of God. And so just with the few remaining minutes that I have, can I help with that fuel and fire that we have? Just give us some practical ways that we can make this desire a reality in our life to actually get in the Word of God and do that. Let me give you three reasons, or three rules for reading. The first is this: no more excuses. No more excuses. The first thing that we must do, if we're going to actually just take this desire and make it a reality, actually implement it in our life, is say, no more excuses, Carson. No more excuses. It can be easy to say, I don't have time. I'm just swamped. I got a lot of things going on, and I just don't have time to read the Word of God this week. But the reality is we all have time to read the Word of God. I performed a survey in preparation for this lesson, and many of our young people and some older people contributed to that and actually took part in the survey. And so I collected data from 100 Christians, and I asked them a question. I asked them numerous questions, but one of the questions I asked was, how much time do you spend doing things? I listed social media and watching television and social activities and reading the Word of God. And I sent that out, and I got 100 responses. The average answer for watching television was 8 hours a week, with people putting as high as 20 hours a week. And social media was no different. Social media wasn't as high, but you had people with, I think the average hour was 6 hours a week, with people putting as high as 8 and 10 hours a week on social media. And what that shows me, and you all know that, what that shows me is we all have time to read the Word of God. If those things are getting a sliver of our time, then the Word of God should also. We can't make an excuse. And if we do make an excuse, we're losing the battle to our enemy, the devil. We need to get in the Word of God, and so we need to make no more excuses. We need to have the mindset that Ezra had in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, where he said, "For Ezra had set in his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, to teach it." and all his statutes and rules in Israel. No more excuses. Second, we need to start small and be consistent. Start small and be consistent. Like any goal that we could have in any area of life, unrealistic expectations will destroy our motivation and destroy us from completing a task. If someone wanted to run a marathon and they've never worked out a day in their life, never gone to the gym, never ran, nothing, and they said, "I'm going to run a marathon at the end of the month." And so they, how long do you think they're going to last in the gym? Not going to last very long. Probably going to last about 3 days. Why? Because their reality is not going to meet their expectation for where they should be. And unrealistic expectations for ourselves are detrimental to whatever we're trying to do. Will destroy our motivation. And the same is true for the Word of God and reading the Word of God. If you're like me in high school and you have that designated spot in the back of your car, that designated seat for your Bible, the worst thing you could do is leave this sermon and leave this auditorium and go home and say, I'm gonna read the Word of God every day next week, 6:30 a.m., and I'm gonna read it for an hour before work. That's the worst thing you could do. Why? Because you're gonna do it for about 2 days and you're gonna get burnt out, and you're gonna get exhausted and tired, and you're gonna miss some days, and your expectations aren't just gonna meet reality for where you're at. And so we need to examine ourselves this morning and understand where we're at, and we need to be small, do small things, and be consistent in those small things. Look at yourself and understand where you're at and add to it. Add to it in small increments and progress in that and be consistent in that. And the thing is, if we do that for weeks and weeks and months and years, we'll look at ourselves in the future from our current vantage point and say, no way could I read that much in a week. No way could I know that much or study that much or find that much alone time. But if we do small things and we're consistent in those for a long period of time, we will accomplish amazing things like any goal, and we'll see amazing results in our life. One last thing. You all have been just so amazing this morning. Such an amazing audience. I love preaching for you, church family. You all smile and nod along and take notes. It's great being up here. I'm blessed to be with you this morning. One last thing. We got to get away from the chaos. James White, in his book, A Mind for God, would write this. He says, "Don't attempt to read a book in the context of chaos, blaring music, kids running amok, and getting up to answer the phone. Such distractions are insurmountable." I agree with him, don't you? It can be hard to read. I think about reading when there's a phone on the table and notifications are coming in, let alone kids running around. It can be hard to read the Word of God. And even if we power through those distractions and we read the pages in front of us word for word, it's still in vain, isn't it? Because our mind is just somewhere else. There's too many things going along. We're not studying. We're not meditating. We're not taking it in and growing. And so we need to do what James White would say in his book, and that's get away from the distraction and get away from the chaos. We need to do what the psalmist would do in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 148. The psalmist says, "My eyes anticipate the night watch, that I may meditate on your word." My eyes anticipate the time where I can just make alone time for you, God, alone time to read your word when nobody else is around. That's what we need to do, to read the Word of God consistently and habitually in our lives. What's some alone time? What's some time we can get away from the chaos? Well, how about that drive to work? How about when you get in the office before everybody gets there, read that 30-second psalm on your phone, just a quick psalm before everybody gets there? How about before the kids wake up in the morning or when the kids go to sleep at night? We got to make some time for the reading of God's word this week. And so those are some reasons why we should read, and those are some ways we can go about it. And so I hope this morning that you recognize where you're at and recognize that we need to be in the book and to read the word of God. And I hope I've given you some ways in which you can go about that and make this desire a reality in your life for days and weeks and years to come. I'm going to end this sermon a way I don't usually end sermons, but we've heard this sermon 100 times, and yet we still all struggle, don't we? And so can I bring the Father in this auditorium this morning and pray together and ask for his help as we go about doing this week? Will y'all pray with me? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for being an amazing God, an awesome God, powerful and rich in mercy and love for us. And we see that as you have given us a word, your word that provides life and blessing and provides a way that we can be with you for all of eternity. Father, we are so, so thankful for that this morning. But Father, we come before you with honest and open hearts, recognizing that we do not give your word the place of honor in our lives. Give it the place and attention that it deserves so often. So often, Father, it goes missing from our lives for days and weeks. Father, forgive us for that. And Father, be with us this week and help us make this happen. Help us to be in your word and to make progress and be consistent. Through Jesus we pray, amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not a child of God. Maybe you recognize and you've read the Word of God. You've read passages like Acts 2:38 and recognize that you need to be saved, washed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sin. We want to help you today. We can make that happen. Or maybe you're here and you recognize that you have steered to the right or to the left, and then you need the prayers of the congregation. You need to make things right with the congregation, make things right with the Lord, and we can pray for you. We can help you do that. Whatever the case may be, come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.